Revelation chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, picking up in section 45L in the Revelation Bible Study Outline, which can be found online at firmfoundationri.com. Section 45L, Revelation 19, verses 15 and 16, will close out this section, Christ on a White Horse, the Second Coming. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with the rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here we have the establishment of Christ's authority in time as the King of all the earth. Rebellion against his spiritual and earthly authority will be proven before all to have been in vain. Psalm 2 reads, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision, and then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Now Isaiah chapter 63 verses 1 through 6 gives us additional support for the points which we made with regard to Christ making war with his enemies, his robe being dipped not in his own blood but in the blood of his enemies, that the people of God will be following him into the battle as Christ does the fighting, as he goes from the stronghold in Edom, heading out through the valley of Megiddo on his way to Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives, where he's going to one day stand. "Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress?" And here we have the further support for our postulation that in Revelation 19:13, that the robe dipped in blood is the blood of his enemies. "I have trodden the winepress alone." Christ fights this battle alone, remember. "And from the peoples, no one was with me." Yes, we were behind the Lord, but we weren't doing the fighting. The victory was 100% the Lord's. "For I've trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury, and their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me. There is no other name under heaven, friends, by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ." Continuing in Isaiah 63:5, "In my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought their strength down to the earth." So the Lord is going to achieve his victory. We're simply going to follow behind him in ranks. We're going to fall in, and we're going to watch our God, God the Son, gain the victory. Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21. That's section 46 in your outline. Christ the Victor, Armageddon. Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 and 18 reads, "And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great." So the unbelievers are given to the birds at this time, and this is a fulfillment of Ezekiel, the ancient prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 17 through 20. Which reads, "And as for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird and to every beast of the field." So Ezekiel is going to prophesy these words of the Lord. "Assemble yourselves and come. Gather together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you. A great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty. Drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk, at my sacrificial meal which I am sacrificing for you. You shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men and with all the men of war, says the Lord God." And of course, immediately following this in verse 21, "I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, in my hand, which I have laid on them." So this is the judgment of unbelievers here in the Valley of Megiddo and the environs, all of this area around there where Christ will continually win all of these battles, and he's going to do it all by himself. The Lord doesn't need our help, but we sure do need his. Amen. And we've got the victor. We've got the God of the battles, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of hosts is his name, the God of the hills and the God of the valleys, working on our side, friends. Revelation chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." So here we have a fulfillment of that which was spoken in Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 20, when we got a preview of this event, when John the Apostle writes, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So what was announced by angels was achieved by the Lord Jesus, who returns in all of his glory. And we also have another cross-reference here from the Old Testament prophet Joel. After Daniel, after Hosea. Then we come to the Old Testament prophet Joel, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision." So the valley of decision can be seen prophetically to mean the valley of Megiddo, that is Armageddon. "For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will also roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no aliens shall ever pass through her again. So here in Joel chapter 3, verses 17 through 20, we have a composite of the events at this time, which incorporates the bowl judgments, the great tribulation judgments, the victorious coming of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem to establish his millennial kingdom. Words of peace and encouragement for the saints. Then we have the destruction in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, or the capture of the beast and the false prophet in there, cast alive into the lake of fire. And what we have here is basically a hellfire rapture in their case. There is a certain level of judgment which is supported here, where there are certain folks who had perpetrated greater evil and who had actually been given and understood the revelation of God, but rejected and fought against it. And in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 through 48, we have this concept of degrees of punishment in hell. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. These folks knew he of whom they opposed. They railed against it. They promoted Satan's program, even though the word of the Lord was widely available in that day, even to them. So here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, the Lord deals with the beast and the false prophet, the Antichrist and his false prophet. So this is the counterfeit son, the counterfeit spirit, but the dragon, who is Satan himself, is going to be dealt with in the verses to follow. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, and then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottom to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. So this is going to cover section 47 in your outline. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Satan is bound. So there is an angel who is given charge here. He's given power to subdue the dragon, who is also an angel, Satan. So the Antichrist, who is the beast, and the false prophet are going to be human beings. And they are dealt with on the earth, but Satan himself is a fallen angel. He is a heavenly being, so he is going to be dealt with by an angel, and he's going to be put into the bottomless pit, and he's going to be locked up there until for a period of time, until the 1,000 years are almost finished, and then he's going to be let out to do his mischievous work. Under God's permissive will, of course, and then he's going to meet his final end. So in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, we read, "And I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and all kinds of demonic stuff is going to come out." So this is the fifth trumpet judgment back in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And this is the bottomless pit. This is the holding place for demons, where Satan is going to end up going. And we have the duration of the binding. It's going to be 1,000 years. And as we said, Satan is going to be released in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and he's going to be allowed to go out and to deceive the nations for a short season at that time.